Welcome, everybody. We are about to start a new Mishnah. I heard you mentioning before, it's quite a short one. It's one line in the Gemara. And we're going to talk a little bit, mainly introductory to this. It's kind of hard to go through this introductorily, just because there's so much that depends on the Gemara that comes after it. As you can see, the Gemara is quite long. We're obviously not going to go through the Gemara in its entirety now, but we will pull out a couple of important points that the Gemara makes as we go through this shiur. But let's begin, first of all, with noticing something very interesting about this Mishnah. The last two Mishnahs that we've had have been talking about what? Okay? We had two Mishnahs in the Gemara since actually after my first shiur. The first shiur was on the previous Mishnah, but we've talked about...
Well, we talked about the butcher shop, with the meat...
And the meat, and the weighing, and splitting animals, right? And if you actually look on the next page, you sneak over, okay, look back at the next Mishnah, which is right at the bottom of Amud Beis, the last line there.
Back to the butcher.
Back to the butcher again. And what are we doing in this Mishnah? This Mishnah says, Ein mashchizin...
In Mishnah, it's all one Mishnah.
It's all two Mishnahs, yes.
Yeah.
In the Mishnah setup, you're correct. In the Mishnah, it's set up in two Mishnahs here. And our Mishnah tells us, Ein mashchizin es hasakin b'yom tov. You can't mashchiz your knife on Yom Tov. What does it mean, lahashchiz? To sharpen. Okay, no sharpening knives on Yom Tov. Aval masia al gabe chaverta. But you can place it or put it on top of the other one. Meaning, presumably, you can, I guess, sort of move them against each other. If you've got two knives, and you're going to chuk, 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 with the knives against each other, that seems to be okay. Now, here's a very interesting exercise. We have these Mishnayos 1, 2, 3, 4, all sitting in what seems to be the same section. Take a look at the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, which is really source number 1 on the sheet, just for us to look at them. And let's take a look where, in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, all of these things are placed. So, if we look back at Ein Nimnin Ala Behem Alechatchila, which those halachos are in the Gemara, it's Os number Dalid, okay? If you look... That's what at least I have in mind. It should be Ches, sorry. It's Zayin and Ches in the Gemara. My Ches was a little cut off. So Zayin and Ches. Maimini Perek Dal Mihelchus Yamtav Halacha Yud Tes. Okay? It's there, Halacha Yud Tes. Smag Lav and Ein Hey. Tor Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Haim Simen Taf Kuf Sif Alech. Okay? So in Shulchan Aruch, all this time we've been in Taf Kuf. And we've also been, it seems to be, at the end of Perek Dalet of the Rambam. Now let's continue on to the next Halachos that relate to the next Mishnah. Where are those from? So, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Perek, Dalet, Mehelchus, Yantav, Halacha, Chaf, same place in the Rambam, and Orach Haim, Simen, Taf, Kusif, Beis, same place in Shulchan Aruch. And we continue. Okay, then we've got a little bit of, we head off for a moment into other territory relating to the Kodshim Sugyas that we have here, and our Mishnah is Os Chaf. And if you look in Chaf, suddenly, we jump way back in the Rambam, back to Halacha Tes. Okay? We move earlier. Welcome. Yes. So Perek Dalet from Hilchos Yantav Halacha Tes, which is much earlier in the Perek in the Rambam than we had. And following that, Tur Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim Simen Tavkuv Tes.
Just the instructions we're just still working on, let's say.
Okay. I figured if we don't find anybody by a certain point, we'll go out looking for you. Either way, so we've now seen... So, the previous two Mishnayos have been in Simen Taf Kuf in Shulchan Aruch, and they have been in the Rambam at the end of Perek Dalet. Now, all of a sudden, we jump back to the beginning of Perek Dalet with our Mishnah, and Taf Kuf Tes in Shulchan Aruch. And then when we go back to the next Mishnah, which, as we said, everything's all in order, that's going to be what appears to be Os Nun on the next page, Lo Yomar Adam L'Tabach, back, Maimini Perek Dalet Halacha Chaf Aleph, back in the same Perek in Rambam, right at the end, like we were before, and in Shulchan Aruch, Taf Kuf Sif Aleph. So what's going on here? All these Mishnahs are being arranged in order, but yet this Mishnah doesn't really seem to fit in. It doesn't seem to fit in, A, because the topic is different. We're no longer talking about meat and all this other stuff. On the other hand, it also doesn't fit in because we see halachically it's not brought in the same place. The topic doesn't fit in, and... Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam echoing that in the halachos, don't put it in the same place. This is talking about knife sharpening. All the other things are meat, splitting up meat, weighing meat, why is knife sharpening placed in the middle of these Mishnayos rather than putting it at the end or at the beginning or somewhere else where it's more relevant? Okay, so that's really going to be sort of component one of today's shiur. So, if you look at the Honashir, which is one of the Pirushim Mishnayos, I believe he's from the 1600s or so, I don't know much about him. He writes something which, you know, is a davar pashut, and I think most of us are thinking when we're hearing this question, it's source number based, in mashchizin, dechulei, mishum didin ze shayach b'tabach. Says, well, who's the one chopping up stuff? Who's the one shechting? Who's the one who needs sharp knives? The butcher. So, once we're already talking about all of the halachos that are relating to butchers, so, debayi lahazkir achar kach yoser mikol adam, right? Shina ohacha bein dine mekach u'memkar. So even though this has nothing to do with mekach u'memkar, this is not a business-related halacha, nevertheless, we stick this in here so that butchers who will be doing this anyways and who will be focused on having sharp knives will see it within this sugya. Meaning, once we're already discussing hilchos butchers, don't worry about the fact that this is mekach u'memkar and this is ovdin d'chol and we're talking about weighing meat. Doesn't matter. Really, the focus is on the person and not necessarily on the subject matter. Therefore, when Shulchan Aruch comes to put it in, Shulchan Aruch is arranged by the topics of halacha. This is, in fact, a different topic in halacha. Okay? And that's the Honashi, a very simple pshat. He says it's talking about butchers. Now, if we go on and we look in the Rajba, in source number 3, a very similar answer, but maybe different. Let's take a read through it. Ika lemeidak, says the Rajba. Heich shanu hadehashchaza gabe ein nimnin. How is it that we put this thing about sharpening knives by the mission of ein nimnin ala behem alechatzila biyantif, which was on the previous amud? V'chilek bein ein nimnin uvein lo yomar adam letavach shehem bin inyan echad bechalukas abehema. He even strengthens the question a little bit. He says ein nimnin ala behem alechatzila biyantif is talking about splitting an animal. The next Mishnah, which as we said is on the end of Amud Beis, on Chavches Amud Beis, says, don't tell the butcher, Shkoli B'din Arbasar, Ava Shochid U'machalek B'nehem. Both of those are talking about splitting an animal. So how dare the Mishnah come in and interrupt our flow of our train of thought, our flow of reasoning, right? Shehein B'inyan Echad B'chalukas Abahema. Vishana Be'emsa in Mashchizin as a Sakin. It gets like distracted in the middle. Quick, let's throw in knife sharpening. V'nireli, says the Rajba, d'lefishe amar chabura achas sheba'u limnos al habehema. That since we said there's one group that comes, again, to split up an animal, she'asr lahem lifsok damim, shana gamkein she'imba'u l'shachta. Says just like we told the people, that if they came together on an animal, that they're not allowed to split it up by money, so too we want to address people that are coming together to shecht an animal together. So therefore, says the Rajba, we warn them, shelo yashchizu es hasakin b'mashchezes, v'achar kach shani b'mishi yikach min hatabach, ma shemuter lo u'ma she'asr lo. Says the Rajba, it really kind of makes sense. The first Mishnah, the one that we had back here at the end of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, ein nimnin ala behem ala chatila b'yomtov, is talking about people coming together to split an animal. And we tell them, here's how you're allowed to split, here's how you're not allowed to split. He doesn't really address the mission at the top of our Amud about weighing meat, which is actually critical, because he really skates over that, which is a very tough point on him. He says, but what makes sense next is also we want to talk about people that are coming together to slaughter an animal. We've got to instruct them what to do when they're coming to slaughter, meaning, don't sharpen your knife on Yontif. And only after that do we get to the butcher shop. The butcher shop, says the Rajba, that's something else. Esther, as we tell you what happens when you go to the butcher, mashe mutter lo, mashe asr lo. So the Rajba is saying there is some sort of logical order here based on the ways that people, I guess, would tend to get meat on Yontif. They'd think about first splitting an animal with their friends. You'd have to deal with the monetary side of things. You'd have to deal with the shchita side of things. And only afterwards do we deal with the tabach. Now, there's obviously a bit of a problem with this, namely this mission of weighing, right? The Rajba does not address the top mission on our Aravan, on Chavches, Amud Aleph, which is talking about weighing meat, which presumably happens when? At the butcher shop, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, but what I'm trying to understand here is in our Mishnah, we're talking about makshrei acham nefesh that could be prepared in advance in general, for a general person who's going to do something, he could sharpen his knife before Yontif.
Okay.
So I don't think, whether it be Rabbi Yehuda or whether it be Chachamim, no one would say this is permissible.
We're going to get to that. That's not the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm trying to see whether this would be the Tabach and not the average person, because his knife would get dull because he's doing
right.
Work.
So, we will get to touch a little bit on that. I left that mainly for the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses it, which you're clearly familiar with. The Gemara, as you'll see down there, talks about Ein Binyatul Shabbos Ela Ochal Nafesh Bilvad, and what is the halacha of Machshir Ochal Nafesh. Obviously, it's relevant to the Mishnah. There has to be something wrong with sharpening knives. What is wrong with sharpening knives? That's something we'll have to figure out. Presumably, the way we're understanding it, and really the premise of this whole question, is to say the problem with sharpening knives is making them sharper, and in some way making a kli or something along those lines. But that's certainly a premise. On the other hand, I'm not going to jump full-fledged into the sugya of Machshir Ochal Nefesh right now. What's interesting is the Shita Mekubetzes takes this Rajba further, actually through the words of the Radvaz, who I believe was his Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken. And the Shita was, I believe, Egyptian, also only learned under Radvaz. But I could be mistaken, but he calls him Mori, so I think that's a pretty good giveaway. Anyway, so he quotes the Rajba at first, actually very differently than we have it, not in terms of the substance and the answer, but in terms of the question. He says, in source number Dalid, Hikshu b'Tosfos. Tosfos asks. Now, if you look at your Amud, you're not going to see any Tosfos there. He had some other version of Tosfos, which asks this, or the Rajba had some other version of Tosfos. Hechi tana hach bava. How do we say this Mishnah gabe hacha gabe mishkal bisra? V'salik luhu b'tiyufta. Tosfos asks, what is this doing by weighing meat? And ends with a kasha. V'harajba tirits dekeva da'iri b'inyane basar. And he is, again, a slightly different Rajba. The Rajba answers that it's talking about different things relating to meat. And therefore, Irinami impala shochta shelo yashchizena. And it also tells us if people are coming together and they want to slaughter the animal, don't sharpen your knives. Okay, so pretty much the same idea. Now, how does he explain this Rajba? And here we go to the Radvaz to see the explanation of our Mishnayas according to the Rajba. Umeori Nero Kasa. Yeah?
He's not really worried in some ways about the order. The answer is correct. The general answer.
Correct. It's a general answer, just like we said from the Honashir.
Right. That's correct. Just a general thing, and I don't. Really,
correct. And
it doesn't bother me, you know.
Yeah, he says this is, you know, if people are coming to ask this question. It seemed like there was more of an order in the Rajba when we read it, right? If you look at the words of the Rajba inside, it certainly seemed like he was trying to say there was some sort of order. And in fact, this is exactly how the Radvaz is going to explain the Rajba in whatever version, again, the Shita had, as follows. He says, Dileperush zeh, umori nerokasav, Dileperush zeh, according to this explanation, Nefarish masnisin kach. Let's explain our set of Mishnayos as follows. Ein nimnin al habehema v'chule, klomar. For the first Mishnah, Chabura sheratzu likach behema shlema mehatapach. We had a group of people that wanted to take an animal from the butcher. Lo yifsiku damim. They shouldn't set a price. Aval nimnin alei ame erev yom tov v'shochtenu mechalken osa b'nei ha-chabura b'neihem. Okay? And they should, again, get together an erev yom tov and they should slaughter it and split it up between them. Ve'achar kach bir, and afterwards it explains, says the Radvaz, explaining the Rajba, keitzad mechalken osa b'neihem. How is it that you split it up? V'hitir Rabbi Yehuda lishkol basar k'neged akli v'chachamim asru. And Rabbi Yehuda allowed one to weigh out meat, again, opposite some sort of vessel in your weight, in your scale. V'chamim asru and chamim prohibited. V'adayin lo hizkir klal ketzad yechalek hatabach habasar achar shchita. We still haven't said anything about the actual butcher splitting up anything after shchita. V'hishlim din hachabura shalakhu habehema. And it finishes with the rules of the chabura, that they took the animal, and said, remember guys, don't sharpen your knife before you slaughter the animal. And only afterwards did we explain what happens when you want to go to the butcher. Meaning, Mishnayos 1, 2, and 3 in our Gemaras are all referring to a chabura splitting an animal. First one is how that you shouldn't be splitting it money-wise on Shabbos. The second one is how do you split up the meat. And the third one is how do you shecht it. Now,
what does anybody see what this knife means, a shechita knife, by the way?
So that's a very good question. I don't think that that's absolutely the case. And I would argue that you could say this is very relevant. And I was going to say this within the Honashir. When we're talking about a tabach, this could totally be, again, as you mentioned, a dull knife that he wants to sharpen. 100%.
Right.
However, hashchaza is used in other places, I will note, relating to shchita.
Why couldn't this be the chabur itself? They're splitting up the meat, they have to cut it.
Right.
So it could be that. It's true. So you're saying there.
I agree. I thought they were sharpen a knife.
Yes, but you still need the knife for Shechita first, and you still need the knife to cut up the animal first before you're weighing it. And that's exactly what the Radvaz asked. I'm just going to finish the sentence, and then I'll continue arguing with you. Says the Radvaz, you're cutting up the animal before you're weighing it. So why then would the Tana, in his amazing knowledge and wisdom, set up this order so bizarrely? Tell me, you can't split the animal with money. Then tell me, don't sharpen your knife for Shechita. Then tell me you can weigh it out like this and like this and like that. If that's the way that I was setting up the Mishnayos, that would make more sense. Why are the Mishnayos opposite this? And this is really the kasha of the Radvaz. And he says, you can try to kvetch it, right? This, that, the next thing. At the end of the day, you know, it seems that it's sort of a strong kasha. And the truth is, this is a kasha again that bothered us when we read the Rajba. And you may be able to say that it's talking about sharpening your knife later. Maybe you've already dulled it from all the first bit of hacking. You can try to be miyashiv the Rajba. That's the truth. The truth of the Rajba is not so far-fetched. However, the Radvaz has a very interesting approach, and I thought it's worth sharing. This is really going to be the third mahalach that we have. We have the Hon Asher is just a general rule. It's talking about butchers, okay? This mission of Einin is not talking about butchers, but Shokel Adam Basar, Ein Mashkizin Es Asakin, and Lo Yomar Adam Latabach is all about butchers. Butchers, 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 butchers. Like we said, actually, in a number of our shiurim relating to the halachos in the Gemara here, they're really focused on butchers. And that's how the Hon Asher would say it. The Rajba, however you're choosing to explain him, seems to say that it's connected in some way to the Chabura before we get to the butcher. And finally, here's the Radvaz. The Radvaz has a very interesting approach in the second section of Radvaz in Chita Mekubetzes, in source number Dalid. Because of Mori Nero, and again, the quoting the Radvaz, the Nirin Divrei Rashi Shapiresh Shokel Adam Basar. What does it mean, Shokel Adam Basar, when we said that earlier? Okay, on the top of the Amud, what does Rashi say? It's talking about a Tavach HaMocher, meaning the Rajba was saying that who's it talking about there? The Bnei HaChabura. Rashi, on the other hand, he notes, says, it's talking about a Tavach who is selling, a butcher who is selling Basar B'Mishkal, meat by weight. V'hadi Rabbi Yehuda lo kaya reisha denimnen ala behema, ela milsa ba'apin afshehi. And as we said, it's not going back on the previous mission. No, it's just something by itself. Ketzad yishkal atavach habasar. How is it that a butcher is supposed to weigh meat? Umori nero pirish the seder hamishna kach. And the Radvaz explained the following. Bitchila seder isurin deshaichi bilokeach umocher. What we're talking about here is we're talking about the buying and selling process. So the first thing we mention are isurim which relate to the buyer and the seller. Einim nin ala behema. That's the first one. Achar kach, says the Radvaz, isur deshayach bimocher bilchud. We talk about things that are important and related to the seller. The seller comes next. And who's the seller? The butcher, of course. So the butcher has to know how to weigh his meat, like Rashi said. And in our Mishnah, the butcher has to know how to shecht his animals and how to sharpen his knives on Yontif. Right? So number one, in Mashkichin Lechachmas 9, as we said, in Mashkizin Es Asakir, Klomar, Hatabach Shemechadid Hasakin Bechol, Lechaleik Ul Velachto Habasar Lechalakin, which again, we're not talking about Shechita anymore, as you mentioned earlier. We're just simply talking about the butcher. He's weighing, he's cutting it down to size, he's giving you another piece. That's what's going on here. Eino Rashai Lashchiz Abiyamtov Elamasiya. You can't actually sharpen it with a sharpener, you can put it against another knife. Achakach afterwards, Sider Isur, Dishayach Bilokeach Bilchud. And finally, the last mission at the end of Amud Beis is talking about one that's just relating to the buyer. And that's where it is. Le'yam Adam Shkoli, and he says, that is the order of our Mishnayos. All good? So these are really the three approaches as to how to make these Mishnayos fit in. And now we get to the fourth, which is really going to be the bread and butter of the shiur. Some of this is actually going to get really complex, so hold on to your chairs. And at first it's going to be a little bit interesting, and then we're going to get to the more intense part. So let's first of all read the Mishnah with Rashi. Okay, says the Mishnah. Anybody else want to read? Always happy to take a break, take a drink. Yes, no, maybe so. Okay. Says the Mishnah, "In Mashkizin Es Hasakin V'Yom Tov." One may not sharpen their knife on Yom Tov, and you can lift it on top of its friend, and it means again to you know, sharpen them against each other, presumably. Says Rashi, okay, Ein mashchizin agoizer balaz. I don't know what agoizer means, but it presumably means to sharpen. Aval masia al gabe chaverta. What does Rashi say? Dimishani miderech chol. It's different from what you do during the week. Anybody as perplexed as me? What? Who cares what you do during the week? What's Rashi busy hawking a chinek with during the week? This is talking about sharpening a knife. Sharpening a knife has to do with tikkun kli. It has to do with...
What I thought I was saying is, you can't do it regular, but if you do it a different way, like kalachar yad, it's okay.
Very good. So Alan is mechavin to pshat in the Pnei Moshe. If you look in the Yerushalmi here, the Yerushalmi has a similar, you know, quotes the Mishnah, and the Pnei Moshe and Korban Ha'eda are your sort of Rashi equivalents that came around later. So it's very interesting to compare how each of them quotes Rashi here. Look what the Pnei Moshe says. Ava masiya al-gabe chaverta. It should be source number hey on your source sheets. Anybody want to read it? It's two words.
Dishinuihu.
Dishinuihu. Just like Alan said. When Rashi says, Dimishani miderechol, he means to say, Mishani miderechol, meaning that's not a normal way to do it. On a weekday, you don't sharpen your knife by putting it against another knife. You sharpen it in the knife sharpener. So, Dimishani miderechol, says the Pnei Moshe, means it's a shinui. On the other hand, okay? The Korban Ha'eda keeps Rashi the way he is. Dimishani miderech chol. It is different than the way you do it regularly. And to me, I thought, hey, looking at Rashi, you know what? And here's what I have in my notes. This opens an idea for explaining the order of the Mishnah, which I would have suggested as pshat in the Mishnah, but it's not that simple. Being that we know the Gemara makes a connection to Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in terms of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh and what Malachos are allowed to do, is it possible, I ask to you, that Rashi is understanding this Mishnah, that this is another Uvdin Dechol concern? So I thought about it for a second. I said, wow, that would really answer the question in a fantastic manner. This question we're trying to figure out, what is this Mishnah doing in the middle of everything else that's talking about Uvdin Dechol and weighing things? And we say, well, it's because it's part of the meat process. So I thought, brilliant, Rashi doesn't have this kasha. Why? Rashi's understanding the whole reason why you can't sharpen knives? Because of Uvdin Dechol. But then I said, Ezer, you're getting a little bit off base here. It's nice, it's fancy, it would be maybe a cute answer. But you can't ignore the Gemara. You look in the Gemara is connecting it to Ochel Nefesh, Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. We're talking about bona fide malachos. Sharpening knives, you're... How would Rashi say that you're not worried about malachos with that? The truth is, by the way, you know, and we'll get to that later. So, I'd pretty much given up on it, and I was looking through the Mefarshei Rashi see...
If Rashi really thought it was it's really in the context of the Mishnah, I don't know what Gemara says, mm-hmm. but if Rashi really thought it was a malacha to mm-hmm. sharpen a knife mm-hmm. on Yantiv, so how does it help that you can rub two knives against each other? It's also... You're also sharpening a knife. Right?
So we're going to have to look through the Gemara for that. You're bringing an excellent raya, which is exactly the raya that the Pnei Yehoshua brings. So you're 100% right, and it's a very strong argument in favor of the fact that Rashi is saying that it's Uvdin Dechol here. And again, if it was just me in pure Mishnah land, I would say absolutely the case. The thing is, Rashi seems to go through this thread even in the Gemara. If you look at the first line of the Gemara in Rashi, where the Gemara presents different chilukim, it depends what material it is that you're sharpening your knife on. Are you sharpening it on even? Okay, are you sharpening it on stone, or are you sharpening it on wood? Okay, and the Gemara goes through, we can't go through the whole Gemara now because we just wouldn't be able to learn anything else today. And again, God willing, next week we'll move into that. But look at the first Rashi, right? Demechsi kimetakin b'chol. Again, it's like it looks like what you're doing on weekdays. These mefarshim, which we're going to see in just a moment, quote Rashi and say, listen, Rashi is very clearly coming to tell you that the Isser here is Uvdin Dechol. That being the case, our question falls off. This is here because it's Uvdin Dechol. It belongs here. It doesn't belong in a different siman in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't belong anywhere else. It belongs as part of this discussion of Uvdin Dechol, for sure, and it's relating to butchers and everything else, and it's great. So let's see the Pnei Yoshua, though, because we still need to then address how is it that the Gemara is talking about Machshirei Ochel Nefesh and Tikkun Kli and all these other things. We still have to deal with that, and Rashi has to deal with that especially. He's commenting in the Gemara that even says, if you're going to tell me it's one of these Perush Mishnayis, and would say, fine, he's explaining the Mishnah, Shelo Kederach HaGemara, so it fits in nicely, it's a nice pshat, I could understand that, and I would say that that's a wonderful pshat on the Mishnayis.
But Rashi fits in. In other words, if we're talking about a butcher, and someone is using the knife frequently, then normally we hold, and again, it fits in with the Gemara of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, we normally hold that you can't do it if you prepare it in advance.
Okay.
The butcher doesn't have that option, in the sense that he may have prepared it, but now it's dull, because he's been busy.
Okay.
So now Rashi is saying, you could keep on cutting meat, but he has to sharpen it in a way, because he needs to sharpen it, that is not the way he does it on chol. He has to do
so why can't there... So the problem is...
Malacha. It's permissible because he, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, if you cannot do it before Yontif, you're allowed to do it on Yontif.
So it's a very beautiful pshat, except that that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says, our Mishnah is incompatible with Rabbi Yehuda. According to you, the Mishnah works only within Rabbi Yehuda.
I am saying that. I haven't done the Gemara.
No, it isn't fair. It isn't fair. I agree. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. But to get down to Rabbi Yehuda today, we wouldn't be able to get there. So I'm telling you, spoiler alert from the Gemara. The Gemara here, as well as the Yerushalmi, says openly, our Mishnah is incompatible with Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Okay? And that's a big, big speed bump for Rashi to get over. So let's see what the Pnei Yoshua tries to do. The Pnei Yoshua writes, in source number Zion, I'll start from where he actually starts speaking as opposed to quoting the Mishnah and the Rashi. Well, Lefiz Nira, says the Pnei Yoshua, De Aser Beresha Lehashchizo, Hainu Mishum Dehavik Uvda Dechol, Dumya Dimasnisin Dela'el. Exactly what we suggested. Baruch Shekivanu. Ela De Lefiz Kashe. Had the Amar of Chizda Besamov, Dimasnisin Deloka Reb Yehuda. Right? Asks the Pnei Yoshua, V'ha'afilu k'Rabbi Yehuda nami misukma. But this even works within Rabbi Yehuda. If Rashi's telling us the whole chashash is uvdin d'chol, let it be also within Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, you'll be allowed to, okay, you'll be allowed to do malacha for, or perhaps, I mean, we'll get into some more of the nitty-gritty details here, right, for Ochel Nefesh purposes, if they're Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, or for Ochel Nefesh purposes, if that's the case, then it shouldn't matter what you hold about that. If the concern in the Mishnah is really all about Uvdin D'chol, whether it be Rabbi Yehuda, whether it be Rabbanan, they can all hold that it's a problem of Uvdin D'chol. It shouldn't be related at all to their machlokes that the Gemara has to say it's not them. Right? So that's a big problem. Right? As he says, V'efshar Rabbi Yehuda nami moded aser. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda also says there's a problem of Uvdin D'chol here. How do we know that our Mishnah would not be like Rabbi Yehuda? V'hanira bazeh. Okay? And now the Pnei Yoshua is going to pull a bit of a rabbit out of his hat, which again, I'm going to try to explain the relevant parts of the Gemara as we go through it. It would have been great if we would have gone through the Gemara, but we never would have gotten to the Pnei Yoshua if we would have gone through the Gemara. So I apologize. Also because I'm coming at this from the angle of the order of the Mishnayos as opposed to resolving Pshat and Rashi in the Gemara. So says the Pnei Yoshua, I'm going to summarize it outside for you, okay? He says that when Rav Chisda says that our Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Yehuda, he quotes one of the opinions in the Gemara here, which says that when the Mishnah says, Aval Masiya al Gabe Chaverta, okay, so you can look up, you don't have to look down at the Bnei Yoshua's. When the Mishnah says, but you can put it against another knife, there's an opinion in the Gemara that you're only allowed to wipe it against another knife when you're doing it to clean the knife. But that opinion the Gemara holds. If you're doing it to sharpen the knife, then it's going to be Aser. Okay? Again, the second case of the Mishnah, which says it's allowed, says the Gemara in one opinion, when is it allowed? Only when you're just wiping the knives against each other for the sake of cleaning. But if you're doing it to sharpen them, then it's prohibited. Okay? Says the Pnei Yoshua, that's where Rav Yehuda can't fit in. Right? It's within that approach in the Gemara that Rav Chisda comes to say, Rav Yehuda is incompatible with the Mishnah. Why? Rav Yehuda would look at you, what do you mean you're only allowed to wipe off two knives against each other? What could possibly be the problem with that? Machshirei Ochel Nefesh is permitted! So obviously, says the Pnei Yoshua, when Rav Chisda came to explain that the Mishnah is not like Rav Yehuda, he wasn't saying that Rashi's pshat in the Mishnah is incompatible in general with Rav Yehuda. It's only going within that approach to the Mishnah, which would say that it's always usur to rub two knives against each other for the sake of sharpening. And the only heter given in the Mishnah was simply to clean them off. All clear?
No.
No.
Because even Rashi doesn't fit with that second opinion of that you're just cleaning knives. But Rashi in the Mishnah says above a siya al galbei chevrata.
Yeah.
It says the Mishnah miderachol.
Yes.
Kiderachol.
Yeah.
But it's talking about sharpening there, or at least that's the way I would understand.
But that's the Pnei Yoshua's Chiddush to say that.
All says agalzer mean, but that's important too because he's really defining a word. A French word or something which will define what it means exactly.
It means
sharpening.
No, mashkizen absolutely means sharpening. The question is only in the second part of the Mishnah, in the Gemara, is that referring to sharpening or is it referring to cleaning off? But the ratio of the Mishnah Rashi holds is talking about sharpening, 100%.
Okay.
You can't glean that from Rashi on the Mishnah. Okay? So therefore, says the Bnei Yeshua, all works well. Rabbi Huda is incompatible because we're talking about this imaginary shita, which we just stuck into the Mishnah, which says that sharpening two knives against each other is aser. Obviously, that's not aser because of uvdin dechol, because that's not a normal way to sharpen knives. The only way it could be aser is if we say that it's a problem of knife sharpening and tikkun kli, etc., etc., which Rabbi Huda is completely at odds with, because Rabbi Huda says, for machshir ochel nefesh, it's completely fine to do these malachos. Okay, so this is the way the Pnei Yoshua gets out of this question. Okay? He then goes off onto something that I'm not going to talk about right now. And then he brings Uriah that you said before. He said, if you look in the Gemara is trying to figure out all these different chilukim. What if the thing that you're sharpening it against is made out of wood? And what if it's made out of stone? What if it's all about wiping off the knife and it's not really about sharpening the knife? Ask the Pnei Yehoshua, if these chilukim are so important, dare I say, why didn't the Mishnah give them? The Mishnah was mechalek between one case and another. One case, sharpening in a sharpener. The second case, sharpening against two knives. If all these chilukim of the Gemara are so important, asks the Pnei Yehoshua, to know what material was it that you were sharpening? What was the purpose of the sharpening? But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah didn't ask, is it this type of sharpening or that type of sharpening? Or the Mishnah simply said, if it's in a sharpener, it's aser. If it's not in a sharpener, it's mutter. Says the Pnei Yoshua, what explanation can you give between those two cases? When it comes, if you were to try to explain the Mishnah as something along the lines of tikkun kli, that's not going to work. Because then the Mishnah should have said these chilukim of wood versus stone. Or whether you're trying to sharpen it or you're trying to wipe things away. Rather, the Mishnah must be talking about an uvdin dechol because the only reason that it's permitted in the second case is because it's a bizarre way of doing things. And therefore, Shalom al Yisrael, says Bnei Yoshua, Rashi's right. And getting back to what we were thinking of originally, why we even came on to this, was simply for the reason of that it belongs perfectly right inside these Mishnayos. This Mishnah, like the previous Mishnah, and like the Mishnah that's coming, and like the Mishnah that was before that, and all of these Mishnahs are all single thread. Uvdin, Dechol, relating to the meat processing. And that's how he defends Rashi. Now, it's true it relies on this fact that he's saying when the Gemara says it's not like Rabbi Huda, it's based on this opinion of the Gemara. It's a very lumdisha way of saying that it's not that Rabbi Huda disagrees with the Mishnah, it's that he disagrees with this understanding of the Seifa of the Mishnah. It's true. But at the end of the day, it does read very well into Rashi. Tiferes Yisrael. Okay, so Tiferes Yisrael actually has a very, very long piece here, which actually seems to be very, very important in determining the rules of Maris Ayin in general. Okay, it's a very, very interesting.
Is the to Maris Ayin?
So, he's going to tie it in as we go through it. We'll try to go through the Tiferes Yisrael. I don't know if we should read it inside or not. We should try to summarize it outside. Let's take a crack at it. Okay, so he's going to focus on everything in his discussion here, which he makes similar points about Rashi, and he also makes some points about the Ran, which the Pnei Yoshua made, but I wanted to skip over for the sake of keeping things simple for now. We're just going to focus on Rashi. Tiferes Yisrael really makes the same point in his discussion of this. And he's talking about what the chashash would be here as to whether or not... The basic question is like this. Okay, the basic question that the first Rosh is wondering about is as follows. Certain things we say are maras ayin to do in public. Certain things we say, just like you can't do them in public, you can't do them in private either. When do we decide when it's a public maras ayin and when is it a private maras ayin as well? Right, there are some things you say, you shouldn't do this in front of other people, but if no one's around, you can go and do it. And other times we say it's completely usur because maybe people will do X and Y. What if there's no people around? We don't care. It's still usur. So the Divrei Yisrael is grappling, when do we say this? So he says, V'ein lahakshos b'tzina nami, kol sha'asru chachamim b'farhesya, az afilu b'tzina usur. Okay? Like Beitza Daf Tesem and Aleph says, don't make that argument on some of these things over here. I'm not going on exactly what he's going on. Yesh lomar dezehu dafka be'aser b'farhesya mishum chashada. He says, the only time we prohibit you, not you, chas v'shalom, but we prohibit one from doing something privately that is prohibited to do publicly is when it comes along with a chashash that they themselves are sinning at that time. That's what it means, mishum chashada. Aval hacha, Aser b'farhestia rak mitam shelo yakilu biyoster lehashchiz gam b'mashchazas hamiyuchedes lehashchaza. He says, but here it's only a maris ayin issue, okay? Because we're worried that you may come to be more makel and stick it in a regular sharpener. Meaning, when you are, I guess, sharpening your knives one against the other. Okay, which I believe is the case that he's talking about, but I forget right now and I didn't write it down for some reason. As he says, we're not worried that what you're doing now is wrong. No one's concerned that what you're doing now is wrong. We're just concerned that when other people see it, they may take it a step further. That's what we're worried about, says the Tiferes Yisrael. Right? And therefore, such a chashash is only a maris ayin b'farhestia, but not b'tzina as well. When we have a chashash that something may lead to something else, we're not gozer on everybody always. However, when we have a chashash that what you're doing now is wrong, people may think that what you're doing now is incorrect, then we apply it even bitzina. Right? But if it's only aser because we're worried what other people may take it a step further, that's not aser. We're not choshesh on that bitzina as well. Are we clear? Mm-hmm. And it makes sense logically within the two approaches. For something which people think right now I'm doing something wrong, we don't want people to be doing that all the time because it's very close to an avera almost. However, when it comes to something that we're worried about other people learning from you and taking it a step further, that's only prohibited in front of other people. And it makes perfect sense. V'nira li, says the Tiferes Yisrael, su, furthermore, dilahachi maspik behach bava nami bein einimlin deha dilo yomar latabach. He says, and you know what? That's why we have this Mishnah here. That's why we have this Mishnah here. Do you know why? Because it needs to be with a group of people. Listen to what he says. Unbelievable. V'hainu l'fimai dekai malan b'ukimta d'shas. Because what we come to the conclusion of in the Gemara, d'mas nisin l'cha d'damairi, that our Mishnah is talking about sharpening these knives, aval l'ha'avir shamnunisa, but simply to, again, take off some of the shamnunis. Some of the dirt on it, for lack of a better word. Afilo agabe mashchazas mutter. That's even mutter in an actual sharpener. Vare rabbeinu taz kasav dechol lahavu shamnunisa afilu b'makom roin mutter. And the Taz wrote that even to take off the dirt from this knife, even when other people are watching, is mutter. Lahachi kamash v'lan hachashapir. Therefore, the Mishnah put it specifically here. Why? Afilu shutfin shemechalkin b'nein b'sakin di'ikaroim tuva afilu hachi dafka lashchiza aser b'mashchazas, says the Tiferes Yisrael. It's to show you because we're still talking about the people splitting. So when they come to the point that they want to chop up their animal, they're telling you, you want to wipe off your knife from all the guts that are stuck on it? That's fine, you can wipe it off in whatever form you want, in front of all your friends. That's why it specifically puts it with the mission of a nimnin to tell you that it's a public event and there's no chashash of maris ayin. Okay?
Maybe this is a continuation of what we said before. In other words, you're saying you can't, you're all sitting together, you can't divide it. And while you can't divide it, you also can't
So we're saying you can wipe your knife and you can't sharpen it. Yeah. Correct.
But he's talking to the same group that he said.
Correct. That's why he's saying that we have the Mishnah in this order. Because if it would be afterwards, you might just think a butcher in his butcher shop, no one's looking. That only then is it permitted? Kamash Malan, no. It's permitted openly to take your knife and put it in a sharpener for the sake of wiping it off.
Okay, what's the word aval in the Mishnah? In other words, you're disconnecting the two thoughts. Aval Masia Al-Gabe.
How am I disconnecting them? One is Aser and one is Mutter. What's the question?
But you're saying one is not connected to sharpening, one is cleaning the knife. The Gemara will say that too, but no one's concerned about the word aval. I mean, how do you translate that word? But you can.
What? But you can do that. What's
but you're saying it's two totally disconnected thoughts.
Yeah, you can't kill someone and you can walk down the street. That's okay to say in a Mishnah. They're both talking about putting a knife through some sort of cleaning process, one to sharpen it, one to dull it. It is very hard not having known the Gemara, but at some point, even when we'd be learning through the Gemara here, like I thought long and hard about this. This is the way I think it'll be easiest for us to focus on today. I think to learn the Gemara today and then to come back next week, I think, we'll be able to get a better handle on it this way.
It's an introduction. That's all.
Yeah, and that's how I put it, right? That's on the first page, right?
Yeah, it's an introduction.
Okay, so let's continue through this. Okay. Avalahavir shamnunisa mutir. Okay, so we're about six lines down. V'ein lomar, the second word of the line, vav aleph yud lamed, v'ein lomar al kol panim. And you shouldn't say, amay lehavir shamnunisa mutter al gabi mashchezes. How is it permitted to wipe off the dirt by putting it through the sharpener? Necho sheyach shidu she'osekin lechadada. De'az gam l'Rav Yehuda aser, midahavale osekli. He says, but maybe people will think that you're doing it to sharpen the kli, which he says, you know what? According to the Ran's opinion, that's going to be aser even to Rav Yehuda, right? And he goes through two lines here to prove this, and skip down two lines. V'chein mashma. Oh, sorry, right? Va'afilu nema. Okay, so you're skipping down two lines exactly. The third word on the line, va'afilu nema. So again, he's saying maybe you'll tell me that by putting it through a regular sharpener just to take off dirt, that's aser because you think it's aser for another reason. Va'afilu nema dechidud mashchezes hamiyuchedes lanu. And even if you'd say, okay, that sharpening with the sharpener, which is specifically for us, Inu Aser, L'Rabbi Yehuda, Rak Midrabanan, is only Aser Midrabanan, Midemechsik, Uvdin Dechol, since it looks like Uvdin Dechol, V'chein Mashma, Mirashi, Bimas Nisinu, V'Gemara. And it sounds like Rashi is saying that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there'd still be a Hashash of Uvdin Dechol, Dirabanan, Al Kopanim, Hare Gambit, Dirabanan, Chayshinan, L'Maris Ayin. He says, but even for a Dirabanan, we're choshesh for Maris Ayin. So his question is, why aren't we choshesh here for Maris Ayin, where we say, in order to clean off your knife, you're allowed to put it in a knife sharpener? Why aren't we choshesh for Maris Ayin? And his answer really is, we're not. Okay, as you go through it, he brings basically 12,000 examples to say, we're not. Okay, because then you wouldn't be allowed to do this, and you wouldn't be allowed to do this. And he is a Bekiyas Mamish in all of Shas here. Basically every single case of Maris Ayin to show that Maris Ayin doesn't apply there. And he gives sort of some background, but it's really irrelevant. His point is to say, number one, a new approach as to why the Mishnayos have to be in this way, to show you that there is no chashash of Maris Ayin. But number two, that he learns Rashi exactly the same way that all of us were talking about, to say, even according to Rabbi Huda, there is a separate, distinct chashash of Uvdin Dechol. Okay? And that's what we can take up from him. That's what we can take up from the Pnei Yehoshua. But still got a bit of a problem. Let's read Rashi again. Okay? Let's read Rashi again. Says Rashi, Ava Masi al Gabi Chaverta, Demishani mi Derechol. It's different than Derechol. And until now, you just reading that, you may make the argument that it's really talking about Ovdin Dechol. But let's read the next Rashi. Mashchezes shel Evin. What's the problem with that? Dimitakenes lei, that will make it better. Shapir dimechzi kimitaken bechol. Mitaken bechol. Now, it's certainly talking about, Rashi's certainly talking about a concern that it looks like mitaken, no? Rashi adds in the word bechol for what purpose?
It's not shinui.
Okay, in Mashchezah Shalavin, it's certainly not a shinui. And if it's not a shinui, then what does bechol in Rashi really mean? You could then go back and in turn interpret Rashi like the rest of the Rishonim here, and say, well, even though Rashi says derechol, even though he says bechol, really it's clear he's talking about mechzikim mitakin bechol, because that's a normal way to do tikkun on a weekday. Meaning, you're dealing with a derabanan. It's mechzikim mitakin. It looks like you're sharpening your knife. And as you can see from the Rambam here in source number 10, which I'm not going to read because we don't have any time left, really, you're clearly not dealing with a deoraisa here. I mean, even if you're sharpening your knife to get rid of a little bit of a nick, it's still able to cut. It has to be really super, super, super dull for you to consider to be making a clean entirely. So perhaps then really Rashi is just going within this understanding of mechzikim mitakein. There really is a chashash of, it looks like you're doing tikkun kli. But, perhaps according to Rashi, we'd still have that same question of what is the order of the Mishnayos then, right? We wouldn't have an answer to that question. And it could be that Rashi would go like the Rajba. It could be that Rashi would go like the Radvaz. But perhaps Rashi's trying to teach us something.
He says kim etakin b'chol.
Yeah.
So he's not saying is tikkun kol.
Merci kim etakin.
Yeah, but
merci kim etakin is a derabanan of its own. It's not uvdin d'chol.
Doesn't it bother people that the whole construct, what do you ever see? You see many times it says mechzik mitakin. You don't see mechzik mitakin b'chol. Because what do you mean mitakin b'chol? How's mitakin b'chol any different than mitakin b'yontif? There's a special chol time to mitakin?
Okay, so that's towards what I'd like to go. I'd like to suggest that part of Rashi's problem with mechzik mitakin is that really when it gets back to the core of everything, what's the problem with mitakin? What's the problem with really any malacha? It's related in some way. Even your derabanan of mechzikim mitakein is related in some way to what people are doing b'chol. So even though it's true the chashash is one of a maris ayin, mechzikim mitakein, whatever the case may be, it's still to some extent, and I still have to develop this. I thought about this for a long time and needs to be worked on a little bit more, but it's somehow compatible and close and similar and related to uvdin dechol, meaning every derabanan, including this world, not every derabanan, but the derabanan of mesakin kli, has an element of chol that's required in it. Okay, it has to be mechzikim mitakin dechol. It has to be derechol, and if it's different than derechol, okay, and you're simply putting it against another knife and another knife, it's still mechzikim mitakin, but it's not mechzikim mitakin bechol. Right? Meaning, what Rashi's trying to say is, technically speaking, does sharpening your knife against another knife work that it looks like you're sharpening it? Even if you're just using it to chop off whatever dirt, let's say? You got one knife. Is it going to become any less sharp by sharpening it against another knife than by sticking it in the knife sharpener? No, it's not. They're both merci kimitakin. But one is merci kimitakin like a bichol, like a regular person, which is putting it in a knife sharpener, and that's going to be a mechzikim mitakein. But if you're putting it on another knife, since it's such a shinui, it's not like you do it bechol, it's mechzikim mitakein b'shinui, then therefore you're not going to have a chashash of mechzikim mitakein, and it's not going to be usser. Again, one more time, let's try to bring this all in. Perhaps Rashi really holds that the worry is mechzikim mitakein. However, mechzikim mitakein, says Rashi, will only apply when you're doing it in a normal way that you would do it on weekdays. That's when we have the chashash of people will see it and go, oy vavoy, what's he doing? Or that he himself shouldn't do it as well. However, if you're doing it in a bizarre way, not like you do it on the weekday, by sharpening two knives against each other, even though it's mechzikim mitakein.
Why does he keep saying even though it's mechzikim mitakein? Isn't that mechzik lo mitakin, right? In other words, that's the whole idea of not sharpening two knives again, so it doesn't look like you're mitakin. There's something different. That's the shinui takes away from that.
Except yes, it's mishani miderechol. It's Mishani.
It's signed by Shigui on Evan, so it's
But he's talking about Evan. It's not Jalo.
In other words, it's one that it looks like it's a real sharpener.
It is a real sharpener.
Yeah,
it is.
That's what Rashi talked about in that case.
In the Gemara, he's talking about on an actual sharpener of stone.
It's not knives against knives. That's
knives against knives, he says, is Mishani Miderechol. And if that's the case, so now we've got to take this one step.
That's what the arts rule says.
That doesn't matter to me, really.
Okay, except for all, the Havamina is that sharpening is permissible on Yontov. For you to say you need Shinui in order to do it.
Sharpening in a sharpener is not the Havamina that it's Mutter on Yontov.
The Havamina that in general you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Yontov. And then the rabbis have come and said that you can't.
It's Mesik Kimetak and Kli, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what Rashi would say, yes.
Okay.
Can't you say that Rashi is saying that every Mesik Kimetak is only Asr because it's Nuvda the whole?
But what does that mean? That's essentially what I'm saying,
saying
in different
that,
words.
Yes, okay, so therefore, if you're Mesik Kimetak, it's Nuvda the whole. You see, Mesik Kimetak Mechol, there's Mesik Kimetak like you're doing something Mechol. If you can do something, you can sharpen the knife without it looking like it's Mitakin, then it's not a Nuvda the whole.
That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
It's slightly different because the thing is like this. The problem is, I'm just going to add one thing there, is because you can't say Mersi Kimitakin and Uvdin comes entirely from Uvdin the whole. Because you have, what?
That is what I'm trying to say, but...
I know, but I'm telling you why I thought about that and couldn't follow it all the way through. Which is because we have Uvdin the Chols, which aren't related in any way to any malacha. How on earth is weighing related to a malacha? Right? Uvdin the Chol is even more encompassing than just a Durabanan of a...
Right?
Meaning you have other Uvdin the Chols, which are simply things that you do on weekdays that are not associated with malacha. I know that, but it seems bizarre to include it... But it seems bizarre to include it under that umbrella when this is something that does relate to a malacha. It seems to be more of a drabana. It's Mersi Kimitakin. So if I could say it like that, originally I thought...
Kimitakin is Isra right?
Presumably, making it clean. Yeah. So I was struggling with that. In a Hanami, if you buy that, then first of all, I have to go back and reevaluate now if everybody's telling me that was a good teretz. Why didn't I like it? It seemed to me too distinct. Like, I read it somewhere, and they said, is it either Mersi Kimitakin, or is it Uvdin the Chol? It can't be both. And I think certainly there's a relevance.
But when Rashi says Mersi Kimitakin the Chol, it's different. That's a different Lashon than Mersi.
No, Mersi Kimitakin is always the Lashon used.
Is it?
Because you're not being Mitakin. How can you possibly tell you Mersi Mitakin Bechol?
Bechol, like Bechol, meaning that...
But it says Kimitakin. I mean, when I read that Rashi, I took it as Rashi meaning Uvdin the Chol.
Correct. As did the Pnei Yoshua, as did the Tiferes Yisrael, clearly. However, based on what you see, Mersi Kimitakin, it's hard for me to say that that's just a plain Uvdin the Chol. There are so many better ways Rashi could have said Uvdin the Chol. I mean, look what he says earlier, right? I mean, you can find it in a bunch of places, right? Hainu ma'asechol, mutterhu, right?
Okay, he's creative, and we'll use different words.
Yeah, and he's being creative and using different words that actually refer to a different chashash. That's what I think.
Okay.
And if that's the case, to whatever extent you wish to take this, whether you take it as a pure Uvdin the Chol, which again was at my original intention, and in fact, the way the Pnei Yoshua concludes, minus the fact that he has to twist the Gemara again into a bit of a pretzel, but fair. And again, he has an excellent raya from the Mishnah that you brought to say the Mishnah's chiluk is between sharpening it a normal way and an abnormal way. Not between sharpening on this material or that material, or sharpening it versus wiping it. It's a good raya. You can take it like that. If that's the case, you've solved the problem of the Rashba. But even if you're going to take it as Mersi Kimitakin, I think you can still say that it has an element of Uvdin Dechol in it, meaning if it's done like it's done Bechol, that's without a Shinui. If it's done like it's done not on Chol, then it's enough to say that we would still include it in this list of Mishnayos. That's what I would say. Even though you're going to say that it's Mersi Kimitakin, there's still enough of an Uvdin Dechol element in what constitutes a Shinui or not to say that you can pull it in this list of Mishnayos and not have to worry why it's here and not have to come up with another explanation like the Rajban, the Radvaz. But in a Hanami, if push came to shove and someone told me choose between Uvdin Dechol or Mersi Kimitakin, personally speaking, I would be more convinced by Mersi Kimitakin, even in Rashi. And I would say, fine, so I'll have to learn like the Rasbada Zadarajpa. Anyways, we're going to stop here because we're already over time. I left you a nice little Agadapshat. Please take your source sheets back home with you. Yud, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Beis. You can even read them here if you want. It's really a very cute pshat, quoted from the Chasam Sofer, relating to this. You know, the pasuk in what?
It's interesting. Yeah,
yeah, it's a bizarre but interesting shtickle, so I recommend that you read that, but thanks for coming out tonight.
Thank you for having us.